If I had a heart, I would give it all to you. You could have it all the days that are left for love. If I had a heart, if I had a heart, you could have all of it. There'd be no room left for regret, 'cause it'd be the best thing that I did. If I had a heart, 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 but you still hold my heart, inner workings of my soul, the only thing I used to know. Stole, won't return to me, 'cause you still hold my heart. There's no need to give it back. God created me for that, to give to you as long as you're intact. If I had a heart, 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 if I had a heart. If I had a heart, if I had a heart, what's the meaning in this love? Am I never good enough for the king to find his queen? The love I could bring. What's the meaning in this love? Am I never good enough for the king to find his queen? But all the love I could bring, if I had a heart, I would never give you mine. Go ahead and try to find someone who loves you more than me. If I had a heart, 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 if I had a heart. If I had a heart.
Lynette Williams. I gotta take those headphones off. I just can't do it, you know? It's got a delay in my ear. Lynette Williams, that was beautiful. I'm gonna say that was If I Had a Heart. Frida.
Pay attention.
It was a good guess.
You get that wrong, though.
It was a very good guess.
I'm going to guess and say that was the wrong song.
I do. That, I did it last time. I just do it every time.
At least you got her name right. You know, at least.
Yeah, at least I got her name
Lynette.
Right.
Lynette Williams.
Favors the Bull.
Yes. And Join on the Keys by
Aki Burmese.
Aki Burmese.
Yes, indeed.
That's an interesting name.
That's a great name.
Thank
yeah.
you. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you for coming on the show. We appreciate you guys trekking out to Brooklyn, coming on our show.
One of my favorite things to ask when coming on our show, when you don't know who we are, what do you expect? Like, do you expect us to be some weird, like, shut-in type people?
Or do you expect us to murder you when you walk in and you're like, it looks
See,
like
I
a
didn't want to go
shed.
That route. I just didn't want to say that because it makes people freaked out. But there you
they're
go.
Like, well, you started early. That's good. You go right out of the bat. You're like, do you think we're going to kill you when you came here? We are recording, right?
We are recording.
Great.
We're not that weird.
No, I always think radio is going to be like kind of quirky and strange.
It's a little quirky and strange.
It's always a little quirky
and strange.
We try to
keep it a little quirky and strange.
But I feel like television is like sort of strange and like very clinical.
It is. I feel like when you go on there, you know what people are going to say. There's going to be no out of left field type stuff. But radio is like the last bastion of being like, listen to this weird guy on the radio talking about stuff that like he's really into, but no one else is really into, and it's kind of scary at the same time.
It's a little scary, but then you're still listening. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
You know, you're dedicated.
Right.
And like, you know, the faces are never what you imagine the voices are.
Oh, they're never,
like.
Never. Yeah. Like, I mean, that's probably like us, right? You didn't expect us to look like this. Even
yeah, you guys should both have like huge beards. Yeah. You know what I mean?
I can't grow a beard. So let's not talk about that.
But one of my favorite things, if I'm like on a road trip, is just to find that local like guy who has his own radio show out of his basement or whatever it's going to be. You find that guy because he's going to be the heart and soul of that town, and he's going to be a little weird.
Yeah.
So where are you coming from? Where are you guys hailing from?
I live in Harlem.
Okay.
And I grew up in New Jersey.
In Jersey. All right.
And I live in Brooklyn. I grew up in Brooklyn.
Grew up in Brooklyn.
Straight Brooklyn.
Yeah.
What part of Brooklyn did you grow up in?
I grew up in the part of Brooklyn that I grew up in was called South Midwood.
Okay.
I call it, if you're being general, you call it Flatbush. And now people call it like some version of Ditmas Park.
Yeah, okay.
It's like Ditmas Park South.
How was it growing up in Brooklyn when you were a kid? Like, was it rough?
Oh, well, I grew up in the 80s in Brooklyn. So it was
rough in New York City.
I would say it was like 50% terrifying, like New Jack City rough. And then the other half of it was like Breaking Two, like completely fantastical.
Oh, I'm sure.
So it was like on the one hand, like terrifying. And the other hand, it was like all sunny days and like leather jumpsuits and like break dancers. So
I can see that.
Yeah.
But it was also the time in the 80s where parents didn't really pay attention to their kids. It was like, go out, get out of the house, go out. So here you are probably like 10, 12.
Yeah.
Your mom's saying, get out of the house.
Yeah.
And you're walking around Flatbush.
Yeah.
And what was the strangest story you could have?
I can't even think of the strangest. There were so many strange adventures from childhood. But you wonder if they're strange because they're actually strange or if they're strange because you're like 12.
Right.
And you think that you understand how the world works. You actually have no idea.
You have no clue.
I'm sure that some of our like regular adult friends were like junkies. But we had no idea. We thought
they
were.
Did you hang out with a lot of regular adults?
I mean, you just somebody you would see like in the neighborhood, like the funny guy with the funny hat, you know?
He was always
eating hot dogs, but he might have been on crack. We don't like now as adults, you talk to your friends and you're like, that guy was like an addict, right? Like he wasn't just like a really goofy, friendly guy.
He was a guy hanging out in the park.
Totally harmless for us, you know?
Yeah, totally.
Nothing depraved about him except his like, you know, drug habit.
Right, which you kids don't know about. You know,
for whatever
just like,
reason,
that guy's
junkies,
a little weird.
They didn't do drugs around kids.
Right,
it was like,
nice.
So that's what I mean. It's a crazy time. Like there were like, it was like drug wars in the streets. At the same time, like there were people you knew who were like definitely messed up on the stuff.
Oh,
but,
sure.
You know, they were basically just like, you know, the
so
weirdos.
The opposite of that, growing up in Jersey, what part of Jersey were you in?
Ridgewood.
You're in Ridgewood?
Ridgewood?
Yeah.
I live in Ridgewood, Queens. So there we are. We're on opposite sides of the...
Ridgewood and Ridgewood.
Ridgewood and Ridgewood.
Yeah.
Which,
two
that's
houses
a little bit
alike.
More suburban, right? Ridgewood was a little more suburban.
Yeah.
I've heard good things about Ridgewood.
It's a beautiful town.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You still have family there?
Yeah, my parents still live there.
Nice.
Yeah, it's nice. It's pretty small and... You know.
So what brought you to the city? Like, what made you go, all right, I'm coming into the city, and I'm going to take this music thing by the balls and just go with it? What age were you?
You just asked her to take this music thing by the balls
and go with it. What's wrong with that?
Yeah.
This is radio, bro.
It was.
I started actually, like, coming into the city to sing and record when I was 14.
Really?
Yeah.
Would you come in with your parents or just come in alone?
Yeah. I, like, found some, like, ad in the newspaper, and I, like, contacted the guy and was like, I want to record.
Wait, so there's an ad in the newspaper. You're 14, so this is probably, like, early 90s, mid-90s. Late 90s.
He always wants to know how old his guest is.
Yeah, totally.
But he's asking him in the most roundabout way.
Yeah, like, I'm getting there.
I just want clues. I don't want you to tell me how old you are.
Early 2000s, mid 2000s, late 2000s. Okay.
Yeah.
So you see an ad in the paper, and you're like, Mom, I'm doing this. I'm going into the city.
I was like, I wanted to record, and my parents didn't take me seriously. They were like, yeah, whatever. So then I, like, called this guy who I'm still friends with, and he was like, yeah, come. So my dad drove me in, and originally I wanted to be in a girls group, so I went with my friend at the time, and she was like, I don't want to do this. So then I recorded, like, my first demo ever.
What was the song?
We did three songs. Slowly was one of them. Complicated was another one. I don't know. I have to look at it. It's been so long.
Do you still play those songs?
No.
No, they're gone.
But yeah, do you still have the demo?
Yeah, I still have the demo.
So when you become famous, hold on to that and then sell it to the highest bidder.
Because
that's
a huge bootleg. Yeah.
They're looking for all that old stuff.
They're looking
for,
that's like the release, like 30 years down the
line. Exactly. Like Louis C.K. just came out with a movie that he did, like,
exactly,
in the 90s.
And now it's huge.
And he's selling it. Yeah. So your music then. Like, when you're doing, like, the complicated and stuff.
Yeah.
What's different between writing then and writing now? Like, 14 compared to now.
I mean, they were still kind of love songs, I think. But they were about, like, best friend breakups as opposed to, like, romantic relationships and things like that.
Oh, so these are your original songs you're writing. You're not, like, singing covers at 14. You're writing your own stuff.
No,
all right.
Yeah. What were you doing at 14?
I was breaking up with my best friend. And, you know,
and
I
listening to Complicated, and you're like,
complicated,
jamming out to this bootleg that I got. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was having issues at 14.
I think everyone is, you know.
It's a tough
it's
time.
It's a tough time.
But you needed an outlet, and that was your outlet. That's nice.
Yeah. What was your outlet?
Rollerblading. You asked.
I did.
Well, they called it aggressive inline skating back then.
No, they did not.
No.
They did. Or rollerblading.
Inline skating.
And we, like, jumped downstairs.
That's
and,
how we
you
know you're bona fide.
Did. I have footage of it. But it's not about me. It's about you guys.
It's true.
Yeah.
Getting
through
music. Taking the music by the balls and making it happen.
Making it happen.
So this was before American Idol. So is this that was even possible to, like, record something? Because I think before American Idol, it wasn't possible for people to, you know,
it was actually it was a weird time because you could still, like, go try out for stuff. Actually, when I was 15, which is a couple years before that, I was in a boy group.
So
I was in high school. My
Matt
parents
these
also
together.
Were like,
boy
you're not
going to
be a
groups?
Singer. I was going to be like a computer scientist or whatever. But then I got into this. They needed, like, a falsetto. It was, like, totally out of a movie. They were like, hey, kid, we need a falsetto guy to sing the high parts. And I was like, me, mister? You know, like, that kind of thing. And we had, like, a thing for Polygram. We went in and we, like, sang for Polygram.
What?
And did, like, dance moves and all stuff. That was,
because
like,
did
a
tell
possibility.
Tell me there's footage of that. Tell me there's footage
you know,
of that.
There's got to be footage, but I don't have it. I don't have it. I remember those songs.
So this is just, like, what was that guy's name in Florida who got, like, the Backstreet Boys together or something?
This like was the, like that kind of
was
thing.
Was like that
they
type
were
of thing?
Looking, yeah. I mean, at that time, they were, like, looking for that group, the next big boy group
they,
or something.
They were hot.
Like
they were turning them out like nothing. You
they
know?
Were like, we want a Jagged Edge, but we want an Immature, but we want a Boys to Men, but we want a you know. And
that's
so
bizarre. So how did that work out? How did it pan out?
You know what? I think actually I ruined everything because I think that we were supposed to sign. I mean, probably I saved us all. Because if we had signed a Polygram, they were going to own everything.
Yeah,
they
totally.
Were like, we're going to have, if you write anything or make a movie. But I was like, I think I want to go back to school. Like, I want to go to school, you know? My parents were finally starting to be like, well, maybe we'll take this serious. You really want to be a musician? And I just chickened out. And then the band, like, the dynamics of the band, like, everyone just kind of destroyed each other. Like,
so
the real
you left and
out.
Everyone was like, what's the point?
Well, I was not going to, like, do this whole like movie star thing at 15.
Did you have a manager at that point, or it was just them telling you?
It was very, very typical of like a TV movie. We had like a manager that the one guy had. He is the person who had the hookup at Polygram. They were like, make us a boy band. So he went out and found guys. He like found like this and that. He was like getting his hair cut, and he found a bass singer, and then he found me, and he was like, we need you to sing high, blah, blah, blah. He put the band together.
Were you singing by yourself, and he found you?
There was another guy in the band who was in my school. So it was like that kind of thing. Yeah, I think I was singing in the bathroom or something, and the guy was like,
great.
Hey, man, God, I'm in a group, man. You should join up. You know, and I was like, oh, yeah, mister. You know, I don't know why I talk like it was the 30s, but everybody, that's how I remember it. Like, I had a suitcase, you know?
What? Yeah.
It was so weird. But yeah, you could record a demo because you would just like go to an engineer and be like, we'd like to record. And you'd pay some nominal fee, and they would like, they would be totally disinterested in you, and you'd be like, "We're here to sing," like, you know.
Yeah, they didn't care.
And they didn't care, but it was like $200 or something for like a day in the studio to sing. You know, at night you'd go in at 8 or something, and some engineer whose kid wanted a pony or something like that was like, "Yeah, fine, I'll get some extra money."
We get my kid a pony.
Yeah, but we did that, you know, and that then. Right after that, the music industry collapsed.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
It worked out.
There you go.
It did. So go ahead.
No, that's all right.
Go ahead.
We're in a weird angle here. So you're
go ahead.
Side.
Yeah, no, we're
I
want to
ask
looking
you,
at each other.
About both of you guys about education. Did you guys go to school for music, or did you do something else and realize that, you know, music you could be kind of a hobby, or I don't. It wasn't the best question. I should have just asked you, did you go to school?
You're
for
like,
music?
Do you take this seriously, or is this kind of
like
a joke?
Is this a joke?
That's kind of where
he's
got it. And it kind of trailed off at the end. Not quite sure where. How did you guys meet? Let's go with that question.
We're not going to answer the question.
All right, you want to answer the question?
We could probably answer both.
Yeah.
Simultaneously.
Do you want to talk about education?
I believe in education. No, just kidding.
I don't.
I went to Berkeley undergrad and Suffolk for grad school.
Okay, so grad school musician. That must mean you're really serious.
Well, I went to grad school I got an MBA in finance.
Oh, that's smart.
I love it when she says that. I love when you drop the bomb on people like that.
Actually,
people are like,
MBA
so you went to grad
finance.
School? And he's like, yeah, no, I have a degree in finance. And they're like, oh, okay.
But here's the real question. If you got that in finance, why stay in music when there's so much more money to be had in finance?
Indeed.
I mean, my focus was finance, but it's still an MBA, so it's more business than finance. But I did it for personal reasons that really didn't have anything to do with, like, making money necessarily. It was like I grew up in special education classes, and I always kind of felt like I just didn't fit in the education world. And then when I graduated from undergrad, I graduated with really good grades, and it inspired me to keep going and kind of fulfill something that I never thought I would be able to do. So that's kind of why I got an MBA in finance.
It's intense. Yeah. It's intense to go all the way through it. I mean, was your intention to be like, I'm going to stick with my music and then be able to like know when someone's suckering me so I know the business world to be able to like handle it?
I definitely did it. For that reason, I definitely did it so that I could help myself and, like, you know, use it for my own business and my own career. But I also did it just so that I could prove to myself that I could do it.
I bet your parents are proud of that. How do they feel about the music? Usually parents don't like when their kids go into the arts.
I think that's a leading question. I'm pretty sure that's like you can't counter. You can't do. I'm sure your parents are proud of that. How do they feel about the music?
That's kind of where I was going with it.
You know, they're supportive.
That's
like
good.
Especially as time has progressed, they get more supportive, I think, because they realize that I'm like still, it's my dream, you know? So they finally get it.
Right.
They've always been supportive, though.
That's good.
And I want to direct the question. I do have a question to ask you, but I want to find out from Aki where he went to school. And then
mine is much less intriguing. I went to Bard College.
No business school? No finance?
I'll tell you, mine is it's like the opposite story. I fell from grace because my two older brothers.
You were in a boy band.
I was in a boy band when I was 16. The boy band was called Fell From Grace. Fell From Grace. But both of my older brothers went to like engineering school. They're both like super technical. And then I was like, I'm going to be a computer science. I bought computers and put stuff together and made video games, all the kind of corny stuff. And then when I was 16, I was like nope, Percy I Jackson. Changed my mind. I want to do music. So then I just like stopped doing technical stuff and I went to Bard College, which is like this super liberal.
Right.
Like people are terrified of numbers there. Like
it's upstate,
numbers
right?
are the devil. Yeah.
Okay.
Upstate New York, like 90 miles upstate.
What part is it? Is it
like Hudson Valley? It's near Poughkeepsie? Kingston, New York.
Which part?
45 minutes north of Poughkeepsie.
Okay, so it's pretty far up.
It's
there.
Yeah, 2 hours and change on the to drive. You know, yeah.
I grew up up there.
Where did you grow up?
I grew up in Carmel, which is a little south of Poughkeepsie.
I know Carmel.
Yep,
I hung out up there for another year. You know, finding myself as you do
course.
After school. So I was in the Hudson Valley, bumming around and playing music. But so yeah, I kind of. And then my younger sister, who like went to high school for music, she then became like a psychologist. So everyone else in my family is like a technically like has like serious gravitas, and I'm like singing love songs.
So you went up there for music, or
yeah, Bard. Song. You go up to Bard to like find yourself. I don't know if you can really like go and
I
be
think
like
that's what college
have a
is.
Serious thing.
College is yeah. you go to find yourself. It's
yeah.
Grad school is the more serious. Like you're like, all right, I found out what I want to do. I found myself. Let me keep going to college
yeah.
because I know what I want
right.
to do. When you go to college, it's like. You're looking for someone to babysit you so you can be away from your parents.
But also so that you can – well, I had this really fantastic idea about college.
It's here.
Totally
Let's
unrealistic.
Hear the theory.
I basically thought that what happens is you go to college, your parents drop you off, and then, like, the next day it's just – everyone's just talking ideas. Everyone's just like, that's an interesting idea. And they just pull out like maybe like blueprints of something like,
right.
check this out. It flies. Like, does it fly? I don't know. Like monocles. Like, all. That's what I thought. It
now
was
that
just
you're
like
here, we're gonna
sharing
get
ideas.
Ideas of everything.
Yeah. Like, let's just talk ideas. And like the first day it was like drum circles and like marijuana.
Yeah. That's
like,
that's college.
That's what college is. Like,
it's kind of the same thing.
I had this. Yeah. Well, that's, I kind of accepted it, but eventually you kind of, you're right. You can go either way. You can be like, our parents are gone. Let's just go crazy. Or you can be like, our parents are gone. I'm just going to read books all day
books
in
all
my
day.
Room.
And read Percy Jackson
yeah.
from
I'm
going to
read.
End.
Whoa, listen.
Why are you dropping
around
the Percy Jackson?
Spurious
Come on.
Claims. I've
claims.
Never read a word of Percy Jackson.
The guy
certainly.
Said he's a little nerdy. You
I'm
know,
not.
You gotta run into space.
I'm certainly not 7 or 8 books into that series.
So
that's
as far
sure.
as I heard you mention before, though, as far as education, do you teach? Is that what I heard?
I do. I teach. Well, I teach singing, and I like coach choruses and stuff like that.
So now you are the person who's putting together the boy bands.
Yeah, I mean, I'm trying not to do that. I actually wrote a song with 2 like 10-year-olds last week.
How'd it work out?
It was a song they had. It was very meta, but they don't kids. Write meta stuff all the time and have no idea.
They
Their song was about how hard it is to write a song.
That's pretty meta.
And it was full of like this beautiful ennui. Like they were like, oh, I lay in bed all day and I want to write this song, but I can barely lift my arm. But to them, it's just like, whatever, I lay in bed, you know?
Whatever, I'm laying in
and
bed.
And I was like, kids, this is magic. Do you know how good this is? Like people my age are like dying to write a song that taps into this so well. And they're like, whatever. And they left.
You just put an album together, have them all sign releases, and
that's
just
right.
take everything.
Take
that's
everything
right. from them. And I'll rights, be, they'll be like, rights. Yeah, mister. And I'll be like, that's right, kid. Yeah, smoke a cigar.
Carrying around their suitcases.
You're going to be big. Here's $30. Yeah.
We are on a roll. We
yeah.
are on a I want you guys to think about a song to sing because I want to keep the music alive. But when we come back from this song, I want to ask you about This Is Not the Radio on
yes.
the whole business.
And I also
want
to know about how they got together. How'd you guys meet? But we'll do that when we get
that's
back.
That's kind of – those things are connected.
They are connected.
But also that
perfect.
Makes
why
it
you
sound...
got to piggyback on my question?
Because yeah. I asked that question a while
sounds
ago.
Very soap opera-y.
Yeah, it does. It gets there.
How'd you guys get together? Well.
Well.
We have a song we wrote about it.
All right, so why don't you guys play us a song? I kind of am in the mood of hearing a song. So I'm going to sit back for a second and listen to you guys play a song.
Okay.
Sit back,
what song would you guys like to play?
Aki.
You want me to sing a song?
Yeah.
Alone? Okay. So, but then I have to do a whole preamble about the aliens.
Aliens?
Yeah.
Wait, Percy Jackson?
No, I wish. These are aliens that live inside of my head.
This is going to get weird.
This is going to get super weird. This is like I'm working on this album right now of songs. They're about an alien who comes down to Earth and falls in love with an
is
Earth
is this
lady.
The one you're working on with the kids?
No.
No. This is
if
all
I told these
mind.
Kids about this song, they'd be like, stop. We're bored already. Anyway, so there's a lot of stuff that's about that's science-y and nerdy in this.
Science-y
but,
and nerdy.
You know, this is called Coffin.
Coffin.
First night that you called, I was unresolved. I knew enough to know to let you be. Didn't stand a chance, I couldn't stand against your sweet unsober songs and melodies. I knew you when you had no place to go. Now I'm awful sorry. Love is on safari. I was just a beast she knew too well. It was always worship. Some things they are worse than sweet forecast and secret fairy tales. There's nothing here. There's no one left to save. Before you, I was nothing. Of that I'm sure. And life was my coffin. My heart an empty bore. Thinking of giving up. Just when I'd had enough. Before you, there was nothing. That's all I know. And space was my coffin. And I was home, thinking of giving up. Just when I'd had enough. In comes you. In comes you. Before me lies an option, a gleaming choice in all the void. And light was my coffin. Then I found joy, thinking of giving up. Just when I'd had enough. Just when I can't go on. Just when I'd had enough. Thank you.
Jackie. Beautiful. Yeah.
Thank you.
So, in comes you. That we're talking about the aliens there.
I think it's called Coffin. Isn't the song called
the
Coffin?
The song is called Coffin.
God, thought, you are so
I wasn't talking, no, no. I was talking about the lyrics.
No, if I'm honest, it's called Coffin, close parentheses, in comes you.
In comes
all right,
you.
All right.
Boom.
Yeah. Boom, yeah.
Because, so, but in yeah. comes you. We're talking about aliens
we're
coming down
about,
to you?
Well, actually, this is the alien talking to the Earth lady, but yes.
Okay.
You know, it's about the whole song cycle, if you will, is about love, like accepting loving somebody.
Okay. And even if they're aliens.
Just we all feel sort of alienated from one another, you know what I mean?
Sure.
So it's like about, even though you're an individual and you feel like you're the weirdest person, it's being able to like accept that you can
sure.
love somebody.
Even if you are the
even
junkie who hung out on the corner while you were a
happy
kid.
A junkie that sung a song, man, had a funny hat.
Yeah,
you know?
A funny hat.
And treated the kids well.
Always energetic.
Always
energetic.
Always happy to see you.
Singing songs a cappella.
Real quick, I do want to get into the This Is Not Radio, but along the whole crack headlines,
yeah.
I lived in Miami for a few years, and I unknowingly took a crackhead to go get some rock in my van, because she was like, this girl Maggie, she was older.
Yeah.
She's like, hey, Mike, can you give me a ride down the block? I was like, oh, yeah, sure. You know, yeah. I just moved into the neighborhood, and I was like, all right. Hopped in my van. I take her down the street. And she's in this house for a few minutes. And I'm like, shit, this is sketchy.
Yeah.
I was like, what is going on here? And I take her back, and I was like, oh, I just drove her to go buy some crack rock.
But it was just such a different time.
But she didn't hurt
time.
Me.
Yeah.
She didn't, you know,
no,
nobody robbed me. Like,
exactly.
It was nice.
It was totally, it was sketchy. It was only sketchy.
It was just
do
sketchy.
Do the addicts usually hurt you, though? Isn't it like the drug dealers that hurt you?
Depends. If you're
right
really
now,
high on meth
in.
And you really need to get some something, you know,
yeah.
you could get a little angry.
Well,
because
the narrative is also like in all the movies from the 80s is that like you'd be walking down the street in New York and some junkie would like pull a knife and be like,
true.
Give me all your money. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They also said that about people who smoked weed, too. But that's not going to happen.
Yeah. I got to say, like, I never got into any fight or trouble with somebody over drugs growing up as a kid. Like all the fights were over like dumb things like sneakers or like. Talking to some girl, you know, like that's why people actually do dumb things like bring a knife to school. It's not because you're like you mess with my drug kingpin, like
drugs.
No,
man.
not even concerned for most children. It was like, oh, you talked to Becky yesterday. We're gonna fight tonight, you know, like
meet me
by the flagpole, bro. Yeah,
I hate fighting.
Yeah,
so unnecessary.
You got into a fight, didn't you, when you were a kid? A
couple of them, but nothing like, you know.
Yeah.
Crazy. I always tried to get in fights that I could win, and then when I didn't, I was like, oh, that's why I don't fight. You know, like you pick people, you're like, all right, I could probably take this kid, and then like, no. Or they're like, another kid hits me in the back of the head, but you know.
What are you going to do when Leo comes home and says, there's this kid picking on me? What are you going to tell him?
Punch him straight in the throat.
punch him
right in the throat.
The guy who doesn't like to fight tells his kid.
The goal with fighting in for me was to just convince the other person that you're willing to fight. And that you have nothing to lose.
Right.
That you will, like, you know.
Then you already won.
Then you've won. Because they're like, you know what? I kind of want to fight you, but I'm like, I want to go home, too. Like, I want to eat candy tonight. And if you make it seem like I'm crazy, like, I don't know what will happen to you or both of us. You know, we'll roll out into the street and fall off a cliff. You know, they'll be like, you know what? I don't like you, but I'm just going to insult you.
Yeah,
and that's cool.
He's gonna stand over that's there great. And do
it's,
it.
It's puffing. It's like peacocks puffing
it's
up the
like,
feathers.
It's exactly
you know?
Like peacocks, and that's why I don't like to fight. But I do like peacocking.
Sure.
I think it's a good
sure.
thing
that's
to
what
do.
We do in here all the time.
Yeah.
So, getting back.
Right.
This is not radio.
Aliens. No, this what? Is not radio. This one not of me, I don't know why radio. You guys met, and then the story behind This Is Not Radio.
Two-part question.
Two-part question.
Well, first of all, it's called This Is Not the Radio.
This is not the radio.
Yeah.
Which this is, ironically, this is the radio.
I know.
But the actual project is called This Is Not
the Radio.
The Radio. Right.
Are you having a good time? You seem a little... she doesn't want to be here.
It's a little meta. She's just getting...
It
going.
Happens sometimes.
Yeah, I'm a mellow person.
She's
that's
really
right.
relaxed.
Yeah, so Aki and I met before This Is Not the Radio existed. And I was working on my first EP. We recorded it at Converse, Rubber Tracks, and... I needed some help with the arranging of the songs and just like general musicianship of the songs. And Aki was recommended.
True.
So that's really how we met. And so we worked on the album. And then because, you know, like, we've played in the city a lot, and it's like, you know, it's great, but it's not always easy. There's a lot of venues that you want to play at, but they expect you to bring X amount of people.
Right.
They don't pay you.
Unless you bring those people.
And even if you do bring those people, they still don't pay you, or they'll give you a percentage. And it can be more about numbers as opposed to talent. And I found that really frustrating.
Right.
Because, you know, it's like, well, maybe the best acts don't have a following yet. And how are they going to get a following if they can't play at good venues that have a built-in crowd, you know? So the idea of This Is Not the Radio was to build a community of people, artists that inspire me and I think are incredible, to get them in the same room. We all have our own fans, but to build our fan base together to collaborate and support each other and grow, you know? The audience grows, the musicians grow, we all grow together, we all build together, and we, yeah, take everything to the next level without this pressure of how many people are gonna, do I have to bring to the show, and yeah, things
like
that.
So it's like your own sort of crowdsourcing, crowdfunding, with getting your own people together to be able to be like, all right, I'm doing a show here, you guys wanna come, you can come, we can all hang out, you wanna get on stage, you get on stage next. Kind of that mentality?
I mean, it's like a real, there's a real setup. Usually it's like 4 to 7 acts a night.
So it's all a concert.
And it's a real concert. And it's like a lot of like reoccurring acts. But the idea is that it's a community.
Right.
You know?
It's a family.
It's a family.
It's a family.
Like,
how many people you got in the family right now?
Wow.
It's growing all the time. And, I mean, that's the idea. And it's not just music. Like, there's actors.
Right,
and
art,
there's,
culture.
Yeah.
Bit of
everything.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So is this your brainchild? Was this your, like, initial being like, all right, I could start getting people together. Let's do it. Or was this something that, like, you came upon and then kind of took over?
No, I mean, this was my idea because, I mean, I was listening to people like Aki and other artists and being like, they're fucking amazing. And obviously they already all had their things going on, but I was like, why aren't we all playing together and like collaborating together and just like experiencing the magic? So the idea kind of like grew from that.
Nice. So
I like it.
That. That's
I
awesome.
I like it a lot.
So why don't you plug the site? Plug the site. And so it's thisisnottheradio.com?
Yeah, thisisnottheradio.com, and it's on Facebook /thisisnottheradio.
Nice. This is not the radio.
Yeah.
Where'd you come up with that?
I'm curious about that, too.
Yeah, where did you come up with that?
I think, actually, it was like a joke that my sister and I were saying, because another thing is sometimes you'll play at venues, but if they're not, like, known for the music, it's really hard to get people's attention. So I played a show, and, like, people were talking, and I think I said to my sister jokingly, like, this is not the radio, bitch. And that's kind of how.
This is not the radio. Why don't you keep it like that? Why don't you just keep it this is not the radio, bitch, .com? That I would be sold on.
Yeah. But it was just kind of like, this is live music, you know?
Right. This isn't the radio. This is not the radio. I like it. I buy it, yeah.
I like it. Will you take off that keyboard hum? Because I'm getting it over the headphone. You took it?
I did. No,
if you put the headphones on, you're getting a little bit of that keyboard.
I took it down already.
Every show.
Don't worry about
it.
They're all individual tracks. I could take them out later.
You sure?
Yeah, this is great radio right here. Oh, we're just talking about how we're going to do things later.
I mean, full disclosure, I've just been humming into the microphone right here.
I've got a feedback machine.
I'm doing like a circular breathing thing while Lynette's talking. This is what I do.
You know what? I know we said that it is pretty awesome, but it is nice to see like you sort of finding a community and a hive for artists of all, you know, trades.
Right. I think, like, when you start to, like, come into your own, which is, like, the college age, where you start to, like, realize that there are other people like you, and there's other people that want to get together and discuss ideas. You know, and there's like other people that like play music and stuff. Everyone wants to do something like this. You know, everyone has that idea of being like, you know, I should just get all my talented friends together and just do something, you know? And it's the actual doing it that is always the obstacle of, like, I don't know, my case it's being lazy, of just not being able to get up and do it. But the fact that you did it speaks volumes, you know, and actually have gotten these people, and it keeps growing and growing and growing. I find that amazing because it doesn't happen all the time, but it should. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
What's the next step? What's the next?
Good question.
Good question. Good piggybacking question. Off of your question.
Because
you're basically just making statements now. I think we're both just saying statements.
I'll say statements all day.
We're trying to. I'm trying to get the showcase in different venues as well as like other opportunities, be it. You know,
Dave and Giggles.
Yeah, exactly.
Dave and Giggles. Dave and
Giggles.
Bring them on here.
And like some videos and things like that.
Nice.
So, yeah.
So, what about like getting like a whole bunch of people together, each got a song, and then you could like put an album together, start selling
it's
the album.
Great that
money.
You
yeah.
mentioned
uh-oh.
That.
All right, here we go.
Here we go.
I was not prompted on that. Yeah. I swear.
Actually, we're working on that right now. Aki and I recorded last week. Or a week and a half ago,
remember.
Something like that. So there's, so, there. You know, This Is Not the Radio is a group of people, but there's kind of like the staple people that helped really build it.
Right.
And continue to. And that's like Aki, Arthur Lewis, Abraham Martyr, A.L. High. So the five of us are doing an album together. Everyone's doing about 2 solo songs, and then we're all kind of collaborating with each other on 1 or 2 songs as well.
Nice.
So it'll be the first This Is Not the
Radio.
Let me
ask this question. The one that you're going to collaborate on, right? Who's going to write that one?
Well, there.
Because, you mean, you get a bunch of musicians together, and they're like, nah, I want to write it, bro. You know, like, you just get a bunch of... I'm a musician myself. You know, you just get, like, that mentality of being like, I got the part that's going to really stick out the most. Who's going to write this song?
Well, the beauty is, like, we've been playing together now for... almost 2 years, and so we already like have the songs, you know what I mean? A lot of them are like Aki plays on my songs, or I sing on his song, or Ayal, me and Aki sing together on one of Ayal's songs. So it's like they're usually only written by one person, but we all kind of interpret it and sing it in
our
own way.
The way you feel it.
Right
Totally makes sense. That's how music should be played.
That's one of the cool things about This Is Not the Radio, is that you, for an artist, you get to see other artists play. So what happens most of the time is that somebody's like, I'm playing a gig this night. And you go, great, so am I. So I'll never see what you do.
Right.
But when we do This Is Not the Radio shows, you get to hear people's new songs. They get feedback from you. You get feedback from them. And then also you get really strange requests. Like one of the songs that we're probably going to do later, I heard Lynette do at like 2 or 3 of the showcases, and I was like, I would love to sing that song. And she was like, why don't you sing it with me? And I was like, what are you talking about? But then now that's like a
Is that the way you guys talk to each other?
We talk that way.
What are you talking about?
Actually, I do all the talking. Lynette just looks at me bemused.
Let's collaborate.
That's how we normally converse.
That's great. Well, why don't we play another song?
Yeah.
Okay.
If you guys are feeling it, I mean.
Yeah.
You guys are pretty good at the talking thing. This is good. We don't know. Here's the thing. You hear people play music. You don't know how they're going to be on the radio.
Yeah.
It's true. We've had some people come and just sit there and go, yeah.
Well, they're probably waiting for you to say, like, you know, and we're here to kill you. You know,
and then we're here to kill you.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, which we usually say to everybody. So.
Right.
I don't know what to say about that.
If that doesn't work as an icebreaker, I don't know what will.
You know? Exactly. All right, so I would love for you guys to play a song, and I would love to hear both of you together, Lynette, this time.
Yes.
So what song would you guys like to play?
Ghost?
Yeah.
All the same is all you know. Don't wanna let me have a chance, because you just don't wanna know. You say you care.
Say you care.
you don't show up when I need you more than I need any man. Oh, give me peace of mind. Give me freedom and hope. Don't come back through my doorway. Don't come knocking at my soul. Oh, give me something I can hold. Can we do it again? Sorry.
Yeah,
I got distracted.
Was it me?
No.
I'm just
in my mind.
Was it Andrew coming in the door?
Does he have
Can we yell at somebody about this? Damn it, Andrew. You're walking in. You're ruining the song.
I just got distracted. All right.
So, Ghost by Lynette Williams.
Yeah.
Take two.
All the same is all you know. Don't wanna let me have a chance, because you just don't wanna know. You say you care. You're my friend. But you don't show up when I need you more than I need any man. Oh, give me peace of mind. Give me freedom and hope. Don't come back through my doorway. Don't come knocking at my soul. Oh, give me something I can hold. And then sleep inside my room, my bed, and love me as if I'm not dead. Oh, love me now. And love me tomorrow, and love me forever, and then I won't bother no more.
I believe
there's something here. Don't wanna push you in the corner if you don't wanna be there. But
you can have
each inch of me.
I
give it freely for your use. A boundless love, effortlessly. Oh, give me peace of mind. Give me freedom and hope. Don't come back through my doorway. Don't come knocking at my soul. Oh, give me something I can hold. And then sleep inside my room, my bed, and love me as if I'm not dead. Oh,
love me now,
and love me tomorrow, and love me forever, and then I won't bother no more. No more. all the same.
All the same.
It's all you know.
All you know.
Don't wanna let me have a chance, because you just don't wanna know.
Annette Williams, Ghost.
Good. You got it right.
Yeah, got it right.
Good.
Got it right.
And Aki Burmese.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes,
Burmese.
Totally.
It's A-C-K.
A-K-I-E.
No,
A-K-I-E.
No, totally not. A-K-I-E, though.
Okay.
Yes.
But it's not like Aki and Solfege.
It's, wow, you're taking me back. You guys don't talk childhood. Yeah, no, it's Aki is not my real name, actually. Oh. My real name is Akmir.
Akmir.
But when I was like five, I just told people to call me Aki.
I like it.
And
was it your decision or was it like your
it
parents?
Was, my parents told me it was I like imperiously came home from pre-K and was like, it's Aki from now on. Yeah.
Like, what did you do to me? You gave me a name that's just like, too impossible.
I don't know, yeah, what kind of huffy, like angry, already overburdened 5-year-old is like, I'm done with this name. Call me Aki, please. But I did that. So yeah, it doesn't matter how you spell Aki, actually, because it's not my
real. Because it's not a real.
No.
It's not anything.
But
I mean, once you come up with something, that's it.
Foundation. I spell it A-K-I. Although when I met British people for the first time at summer camp, they always spelled it O-C-K-E-Y.
Aki.
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 Which is what
well,
they would say.
Australians are just a
yeah.
bunch of, you know.
What am I going to do? You know. But as long as you
really.
Say it, as long as it sounds Aki-ish.
Aki.
And then, yeah, all the Caribbeans would call me Aki for Aki and Saltfish. And in high school, my nickname was Fish for that reason. And now you know that.
Now I know that.
Now you know that.
We get into
that.
Some serious stuff.
Yeah.
So, Lynette, tell me what was going through your mind where you're like, all right, I'm going to start the song over again.
I don't know. I was just like, this happens a lot with me. I'm like, zone out too much.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or also, I'm like easily distracted. So that happens too.
So, this is this guy walking in. One of our producers walking in.
Just checking in on you. Guys.
Exactly. And then he just messes
I
it
think
all
Aki
up.
Aki can't even see him. Aki
can't
doesn't
see him.
Yeah,
he's
so
just,
no looks like.
Just a disembodied voice. I don't actually want to see him. I just want to keep envisioning like a man in a pinstripe suit with
he
a
is.
Cigar.
Yeah.
The suitcase
he's
that we
got
talked
a suitcase.
About earlier.
Yeah, he's got a suitcase.
Excuse me, Mr. Producer, thank you.
Mr. Producer, yeah. Thank you.
Thank you for this opportunity.
We are coming to the end of our show.
I think.
We think. Yeah, we've been
my
going
phone
for about
died and my timer died, so I don't know exactly where we are in the show, but we're pretty much straight up.
You want to get on?
What's happening?
I don't know if he wants to get on. No.
He's good.
I didn't know if he wants to get on. If Andrew wanted to get on the show.
We didn't set him up.
We don't have a mic for him. No, we'll scrap the show and then we'll hang out. We'll
let's
talk.
Start
we'll
this whole show over.
Let's start the
show
whole
over.
Show over.
Why not, fellas?
Start it all over.
Yeah, I think we've been going for about an hour. I feel good
I
at
feel
where
welcome.
We're at.
Yeah.
Unless you guys want to play another one, but I think we feel. I feel.
I would like to hear another one, though. Honestly, like to hear another one. I also would like to mention that we lost the legend. We lost Pete Seeger yesterday.
Oh, yeah, we did. That was totally
which
true.
That was pretty rough. I mean, he's 94, but
he lived a long,
lived
life.
A really long,
long
life.
Life. Not
but
a bad
still,
life.
Yeah,
my grandma was 94 when she passed away.
Wow.
So like,
yeah.
I feel like once you hit the 90s,
yeah.
Like it's not.
You've
it
made
shouldn't
it.
Be a surprise.
You've
like,
made it.
They've passed.
But you do start
well.
To sort of take. They've made it.
They've made it.
Made it.
They've
90,
made it.
Come on. You do start to take like someone like that for granted. Like Pete Seeger's like, he'll just always be around, you know. Mm-hmm. And then when they're gone, you're like, you know, Pete Seeger's gone.
Pete Seeger's
that's
gone.
That's deep, you know.
It is.
What my whole thing is like, you don't hear anything about these people until they're dead. You're like, I guess they kind of like. They're in the woodworks a little bit, and they kind of doing their own thing and living a quiet life.
That guy's 94.
He's 94.
He was still playing a lot.
I hope that like this current generation of superstars is that classy when they're in their 90s. Like Pete Seeger was still playing. Like
he was.
He would come to see people's shows.
Yeah.
At least like as far back as a couple years ago, he was still doing not like touring all the time. But I worry that like this generation of superstars will be like dying for attention until they're like fall into the grave like
it's
just
sad.
Doing any kind of stunt
sure
like I'm 94 but you know I'll get naked you know
just for the fame
you gotta get the YouTube hits you know so
it's all about those YouTube
it's
hits
about those YouTube
it's
hits,
all man. About the YouTube
yeah.
I remember the internet before there was ads you know like
somebody was telling me this we're like the last generation that had the pre-internet
yeah
like we are the last group of people that like
dial-up modems.
Dial-up modems.
When it was called the World Wide Web. Cool.
Yeah. I mean, when it was a new.
It's true. Just
thing.
Pictures.
Like yeah. You got excited when you got on.
This guy's radio. Talking, but nobody can hear him on the radio. He's just talking.
That's a sign of how infectious our conversation
yes,
is. Like,
exactly.
Microphone or no, I have things
I
to say.
I am talking. Damn it.
I do want to. Can I talk about this really quick?
Yeah, sure.
I want to talk. You. I'm really excited. I haven't even gotten up to hug Andrew yet, but I'm really excited for Andrew because he and his lady are with child.
Oh,
so they're,
yeah.
I think, four.
What did you mean when he said
yeah, I was like, can I talk about this?
Can I talk about these guys?
I didn't actually
okay.
know.
That's what that's what you were talking about, too.
I was totally open to whatever he was going to go with there.
So I'm really excited. I want to once the show's over, I'm going to get up and give Andrew a big
is
hug.
Is this new news?
Couple months.
Okay. All right.
Well, you're not supposed to really tell people until you get what's
right.
12
yeah.
weeks in or something like that.
12 weeks in.
Is that right?
Yeah. I think this is really happening. So
well,
that's
I know
good.
That. I'm a single male, but I know you don't announce her until it's 12 weeks, fellas.
Yeah, you just don't do it. Bad luck.
If there's one thing I know, it's how to make a G card go to C and when to announce a pregnancy.
All right. So what I'm gonna do? He's still talking, but no one on the radio can hear him. All right, so what I want to do is I want to go around the room and get a websites and some plugs so people know where to find you.
Okay.
Real smooth. I want you to go around.
Go around the room.
Tell
let's
me who
hear
you are.
Where we can find you
same
because
adjective that starts with the same letters as your name.
Exactly. Yeah. So where can we find Lynette?
LynetteWilliamsMusic.com.
Beautiful.
And Facebook / Lynette Williams Music, and Instagram.
All right.
Lynette something.
Something. Just search Lynette him. Williams. You'll probably find you.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think it's Lynette Y. Williams.
Okay.
Yeah.
What and about this is not... Oh, you were about to get there. Sorry.
This is not the radio. This is not the radio.com. And on Facebook, this is not the radio. Same thing. And then on Twitter, TINTR Music.
So that's for This Is Not the Radio,
yeah.
Obviously.
And your Fitbit. What does your Fitbit say? How many calories have you burned?
Oh, we got Fitbit.
I forgot about this Fitbit.
How many steps you got?
27,000 steps.
Wow, that's a lot
today?
Of steps.
3,430 calories.
Oh, that's not today. That's like.
No, that's today.
3,400 calories?
Yeah.
Where are you walking?
What?
Where are you
that's
walking?
That's a lot of calories.
I trained this
like
morning.
There,
I
just
did a lot today.
Do you
like,
need to get a burger in you or something?
She's
I feel like
a
she's so tired.
Battle on the way over here. It's fun.
No, I trained this morning.
27,000 steps. That's a ton. All right. So where did you train?
My sister is a trainer, so I trained at Equinox.
No.
And then
wow.
I ran 4 miles, and then I've just been walking around all day. So.
That's crazy.
3,500 calories is a lot of calories.
Yeah. That's like
I know.
I worked out for like 40 minutes and I only burned like 600.
How many days have you been working out?
I joined the gym and I worked out twice in
since
the past
you
2 weeks.
The gym.
But twice working out is more than I've worked out in a long time.
Oh, 10 years probably.
Phew. So I'm my heart rate was up. I got my heart rate up. I
was what
sweating.
Was it up to?
185.
Jesus, that's so high.
What's target?
Be good, right? Is the target 160?
170? Yeah, like
170
is
again,
like on the high
you know,
side of the target.
I don't work out, but I happen to know what the target heart rate is for calorie burning. I know a lot of things because I sit in front of my computer.
All
right,
Aki.
So Aki's site isn't up yet, right?
My site is
I thought you were a computer geek.
But I dropped it all to become a musician, like a fool.
Like a fool.
And the world has passed me by. Yeah, you can find everything. The website's going to be AkiBurmeseMusic.com. It should be up whenever it
February,
goes up.
February, no later than March, but February.
Yeah, February.
She's telling you.
She's telling
She's
me.
Telling you.
Well, Lynette is my webmaster, actually.
Oh, good.
Right.
Perfect.
Not
perfect.
Joke.
I thought she was like, baying that. If it's not up
no.
by February or March,
yeah,
we're
yeah.
done.
Yeah,
it's we're
over.
Done.
It's
we are
over.
Over.
She's going to break all my fingers. And then everything else, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, is all AkiBurmese.
Pinterest,
Google LinkedIn.
Plus.
If you want to send me a request, I never go on LinkedIn, but I like receiving the request. I'm like, yeah, they want to be a friend with
me. Yeah, they want to be
I
a
just
friend.
Delete it.
We'll endorse
LinkedIn
now.
Is such a weird thing.
Yeah.
It's like, what does it really mean?
They want to connect, and then this new thing endorsing is flipped out. Like,
yeah, the endorsing thing. I'll get endorsements every day, and I'm like, I don't know
like,
this
yeah,
person.
You're like a business magnate, and you endorse me musically. What does that mean? Like,
yeah,
nothing.
And saying this guy knows how to play the piano. So
Dave and Giggles
endorse,
you for
Dave and Giggles. I don't think we've said our name
thank
yet.
You guys.
We are Dave and Giggles.
You guys did
yes.
That was the second time I think you said Dave and Giggles.
Yeah.
So.
All right. No. We have a problem with doing that. Our producers tell us all the time.
It's supposed to do it up front. Right. Do you have like a punch?
Yeah, we've got a bunch of those.
It's okay. Old. I needed to redo it, so he needs to redo it. So.
You don't redo
it's
anything.
Old.
It's what old. Yeah, mean? It's been a while.
Since. It has. It's playing.
We've had like two intros.
It's like
and
Drew
like,
Hill playing in the background.
It's like,
that
yeah,
old.
It's like early '90s Beck.
Yeah,
you know.
It's a, like a little bit of Nirvana, and then it's like
exactly.
David Giggles. Yeah.
There's a lot of lasers.
Yeah.
Exactly. I would like to hear one more song as we play out the show. Lynette Williams, I thank you for coming on, bringing Aki with you. Fantastic.
Yeah. Please get us the next guest. If you like, if you know somebody that would be okay with this, bring them on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Any people.
Any press is good press.
Know
what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Perfect.
Good.
So I would like you guys to take us out with a song, send us into the night with a beautiful, wonderful song. What are you doing?
I'm just adjusting the calendar. All right. It's already on record. Damn it.
Just leave it. Lynette Williams, what song do you want to play for us today?
This is already at the bottom.
Beautiful.
Why is this all that I feel? Climbing up mountains when they're really only hills. Why is this all that I see? Looking at space when there are signs in front of me. Oh, but what folly I see in my heart. Always too lazy to even start. Having nothing to lose at all. But still too much fear that I will fall. But I'm already at the bottom. Already at the bottom. Already at the bottom.
Here comes that moment of truth where I see myself afflicted, abused. Here comes the unwanted thought. Is there some of this pain that I want? Oh, but what folly I see in my heart. Always too lazy to even start. Having nothing to lose at all. Still too much fear that I will fall. Already at the bottom. Already at the bottom. Already at the bottom.
I cannot ignore what I feel. A deep desire to fall or to disappear.
And it has not been how I dreamt. I expected to be ridden from life or exempt. Oh, but what folly I see in my heart. Always too lazy to even start. Having nothing to lose at all. Still too much fear that I will fall.
But I'm
already at the bottom. Already at the bottom. Already at the bottom. Already at the bottom. I'm all.
Christmas bonus for everybody.